tan when the sun was shining bright. And I've been in the valley when the clouds were black as night. I've been betrayed like Jesus by friends who was untrue. But in the good times or the bad times, Lord, I've learned to lean on you. Battle raging, then I prayed till victory came. There have been times I really thought, Lord, you don't even know my name. But I've been blessed, and I've been down to where I didn't know what to do. But in the times of joy and sorrow, Lord, I've learned to lean on you.
Glad this morning we have someone we can lean on. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ, who deposited himself into a virgin womb, and he was born for a purpose, and that purpose was to live and die for sinful man, be buried, raised from the tomb, and of course we know he ascended back to the Father, and we are waiting on him to descend at this very hour and come get to church. But what a blessing it is this morning to be here at Calvary Baptist Church, and I hope you're leaning on the Lord. I hope you've leaned on the Lord this week. Leaning on the Lord is an experience. It is a school that we enlist in when we get saved. But anyway, I'm glad he's there for us to lean on. And again, so very good to see each and every one of you. I just want to call special attention to those viewing on Facebook and let you know that we haven't forgot about you. We thank you for tuning in each and every service that you do. Also on our webpage, www.calvaryministries.org, we are thankful and grateful for those who tune in there. And even on our little miniature radio station we have, and when you pass through Powder Springs, that you might be able to tune in there. So we're very thankful. All the avenues. Many times I think when I'm on my way to church or even the night before that from this very pulpit, the gospel is going out into the entire world, even in other countries. And, of course, we know Peru, and Brother Jim Jr. has told me the Philippines, other areas, we get messages. I don't know. That's just something special that excites me. And I said that to say that this is an opportunity this morning to minister through music and also through God's Word. But anyway, it is so good to be here this morning. We have a lot going on today. It's an exciting day today. Today is our annual Christmas offering, and that's going to be after the choir comes down. We'll have a special song that Miss Amanda is going to sing for us, and this will give you an opportunity, if you've come prepared, to give to the Christmas offering, to walk it down front and put it in the offering plate. And so feel free to do that. If you didn't come prepared today, don't worry. We'll have service tonight. You can do it then. But the other special occasion will be the Christmas offering will be next Sunday morning. We'll do the same thing, a song. You can come down forward and on. So that's going to be in just a few moments. And then, of course, tonight is our Christmas, is our Calvary Christmas Choir program, however you want to say it. I've been working hard on that. Emmanuel, God with us, is the title, and that's at 6 o'clock, not 5 o'clock, but 6 o'clock, so please remember that tonight. It's going to be a great, great time this evening. I do want to mention a few things this morning, and then a couple more announcements, and then we're going to pray. But got some good news this week, very good news this week. God touched Miss Claudia, and she does not have cancer. Tell me God doesn't answer prayer. Tell me He doesn't listen to our petitions. And what a blessing it is. Of course, there's all the glory goes to the Lord. I was talking to somebody yesterday about this, you know, and we don't believe in healers. There's no man that can heal anybody, but we do believe in a healer, Jesus. He is the only one, and He does what He seems fit for each and every life, and so we praise the Lord for that. Of course, Miss Claudia does have to continue to go, and she's going to be on a medication to help and prevent cancer from coming, and all those things. But we just praise the Lord this morning for God touching her. And let's continue. Remember, Brother Selah and Miss Catherine, they're home recovering from COVID. Miss Shirley is also home recovering from COVID. Let's remember our good friend Ricky, who is battling cancer himself, and continue to remember him in our prayers, in your prayers, if you would. Good to see Miss Barbara here this morning, and Ben, and I know she's been through it, and he's been through it too, as a team taking care of his mother, Miss Barbara, and so good to see you. And I guess, what, almost 7 days in the hospital, something like that, a complete week, and back in church. What a blessing that is. Prayer works. Prayer works. And so remember these things. This morning, we want to have special prayer for Brother Larry Bennett. You know, I said this last Sunday, and I'll say it again. I want to hurry through the rest of these announcements so we can move forward with the service. But we like to pray for people, you know, who's getting ready to face a surgery, has some kind of procedure, something that's concerning to them. And but we only want to do that if you're comfortable with it. But I believe in corporate prayer. I believe God answers prayer. And it emphasizes prayer when we do this as a church family. And so this morning we want to, in just a moment, call Brother Larry down just a couple, three pews forward. And we're going to surround him and pray for him. He has a surgery on Wednesday. His throat area, and he needs our prayers. Let me mention this briefly. This coming up Wednesday, services will be at Calvary Children's Home in the gymnasium, okay? And it's not going to be at 7, it's going to be at 6:30. So remember that. This coming Wednesday, 6:30, Calvary Children's Home. If you've never seen the campus, make plans being with us. It is a wonderful campus over there. God has blessed. Not one shiny penny, one shiny nickel has came from the government in all of its years. Over 50 years, church supported. What a blessing that is. And God provides. So remember that. Next Sunday morning, we're only going to have one service. It'll be our Christmas Eve service. And no Sunday night. And again, Christmas offering on next Sunday morning. All right. Brother Larry, if you want to, brother, you come on down front. We just want to surround you with love this morning. And those who'd like to join me can join on in. You know, you can just have a seat if you want to. And we'll pray for you. And so, I tell you, surgery, any kind of surgery, is the time you're going under anesthesia. Brother, you know we love you, man. We appreciate you. And we just want to pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name this morning, and we just love you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for touching Miss Claudia, Lord, last Sunday, God, and we just know you hear our prayers, Lord. And Father, we're not claiming to have, we will never be foolish to claim of any power. The only power there is comes from you, and you tell us that the fervent prayer, the earnest fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. And so, God, we are doing our best from an energetic heart and passion for Jesus and for Brother Larry to be touched during his operation, that you would touch him, Lord, that you would touch him. Guide the hands of the doctors. And, Father, I just pray that you would make him better than he was before. Rid any cancerous cells that may be there. We know we haven't received report of there being any, but we just pray, Lord, that you would keep that away. Brother Larry is a tool, God, that you use and have been using in your hands, and I pray you'll continually do that, Lord. We just love you and thank you for what you're going to do in this situation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Love you, bro.
God bless you.
Thanks, man. While everyone is making their way back to their seats, I do want to say, yes, sir.
Come in 2025.
Just been it. Oh, all right. So you're engaged. All right. All right. Awesome. Congratulations. You both make a great looking couple, and you're great on the inside too. We want to call attention to Brother Harold this morning. Happy birthday, Brother Harold. Yeah. Well, anything we can do to help, brother.
All right, church, choir, stand with me. Turn over to page number 408. Page 408, this morning, let's sing Joy to the World. The Lord is come. All right, sing with me now. Joy to the world. Also, please remember Brother Don Rich, I believe he has a heart cath on tomorrow, singing in the choir this morning, praise the Lord. And please remember him in prayer, and Miss Carla, she tends to him, and the Lord's been good, amen, and God is able to touch, he's able to heal, and we are so thankful for that this morning. Claudia, we just praise the Lord with you this morning. I know that you've been praying and you've been concerned, and we have as well. I am so thankful that the Lord's able to heal. He is the great healer this morning. So please be much in prayer for the service today. And this afternoon, choir, meet me at 4. And service is at 6 this evening, not at 5. Please remember that. If you get here at 5, then we're going to put you in a white suit and put you in the choir. You're going to see a bunch of angels this evening. They've worked so hard over the past few weeks, and I am so thankful for that. And we are so excited about the program this evening. Emmanuel, God with us. Please invite folks to come. I've been on the phone this week and texting around this week. So a lot of folks don't have an evening service on Sundays. And we just want to invite everyone that we can. But don't take folks out of their church now and say, hey, don't go to your church. You come to ours. But a lot of folks don't have an evening service, so we're trying our best to invite. I know there's a lot of things going on, so that's understandable. But invite your friends and your neighbors, and I believe they'll get a blessing out of the service tonight. But do do please pray for the choir. We've got some things a little different this year. Hope that you enjoy them. We had a great practice yesterday, and the Lord just blessed, and we're looking forward. Again, choir practice this evening at 4. Pray for the service at 6. And get here early. You want to make sure you get a seat. We'll just go ahead and plan for that in advance. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask His blessing on the service this morning. Brother Don, would you lead us this way?
Thank you.
Listen to the music, the sounds of the angels. Come and see this child who can make you whole. Lying in a manger, away from harm and danger. Oh, joy, joy. Sent from up above, this special gift of love, more precious than silver or gold. He was sent this holiday to take our pain away. Oh, joy, joy in my soul. Oh, joy,
joy in my soul.
Now go tell it on the mountain. Shout it from the valley. Tell about this baby in swaddling clothes. Men from every nation, join the celebration. Oh, joy, joy in my soul. Oh, joy, joy in my soul.
Given to the church for the church general church fund, just to help keep things going around here, and be your love gift to the Lord during Christmas time for what He has done for us. And so, if you come prepared for a Christmas offering, again, Miss Amanda's going to sing, and please feel free to walk it down front and place it in one of our offering plates. It's just a special extra thing that we do; it makes it a little more meaningful. Be able to walk it down and give that personally.
Sing the lowly shepherds. Three wise men seeking truth, they traveled from afar, hoping to find the child from heaven. Of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, will you receive your due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of heaven. It's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, will you receive the honor that you're due? Oh, Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, will you receive the honor that you're due? Oh, Lord, I bring an offering to you. Oh, Lord, I bring an offering to you.
Praise the Lord this morning. We couldn't give enough money back to Him for what He's done for us. Therefore, it's not about the necessarily amount as it is the motive of the gift. And that is just giving Him a gift, a token, is all it is. We appreciate that, how we do that annually, and what a blessing it is. He recognizes the gift. Let me mention this before we begin in the message. Make your way to Jude, if you would, the book of Jude. It's the book right before the book of Revelation. Jude, right before Revelations. I'm looking ahead a little bit, but I do want to mention this, give you something to look forward to in the first Sunday of January. That PM service, January the 7th, we have a guest preacher and a guest singer coming. And I've got the former principal of Grace Christian Academy, Bo Spriggs. He's coming to preach for us. And then we've got Dakota Lee that's coming to sing for us on that evening service. So be looking forward to that. It's going to be a great time. And so I just wanted to release that this morning and let you think about it. All right, Book of Jude. Book of Jude this morning. I want to read one verse, and that is verse number 21. I do bow quickly for a word of prayer, and then we'll read verse number 21. Father, we love you today. We thank you for all things, the good, the bad, the ugly. Pray for the next few moments that you would take control of my mind and my mouth. Let everything that comes out be pleasing to you and edifying and challenging to the hearer, Lord. We just want to uplift you this morning. And if we do that, you will draw all men to yourself. We love you today, and we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our heart. Amen and amen. Jude, verse 21. There's only one chapter here in Jude. And the Bible says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's going to be our text verse this morning. Verse number 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, the phrase here, the love of God. I want to preach for a few moments on the love of God, if I could. And a father one time wanted to illustrate the love of God to his son. So he waited for the right opportunity. The son one day was playing ball in the house after being told not to time and time again. And suddenly the sound of shattered glass got the father's attention. He called for his son and took his belt off. And he knelt down by the bed. The son was confused and asked, Dad, what's going on? The father said, take my belt and give me 10 lashes to my back. The son cried uncontrollably as he struggled to obey. At the end, the father said, I wanted to show you how much Jesus loves you and what he did for you. Father was illustrating the sacrificial love of God to his son. There was an interview one time, that of Ruth Graham, daughter of Billy Graham. And we know that Ruth had a rough go at marriage. She was hurt deeply on deep levels, finding out her husband was having an affair. So the marriage was ended in divorce. She was silent toward her dad, Billy, for a long time, fearing his reaction about her ended marriage. One day she headed home to tell her dad and to break the ice. As she made her way up that long, winding driveway, she saw him outside waiting on her arrival. She thought, this is the very worst. So to her surprise, as she walked up to the door, he embraced her. He gave her the biggest hug, and he told her he loved her and never be afraid of coming home. Billy Graham exhibited the love of God through forgiveness. This morning, for a few moments, if I could, I want to preach on that, the love of God. A lot of people portray God as this judge in heaven throwing out lightning bolts, waiting for us to stumble and for us to mess up so that he can strike us dead. That's the mentality of this world and their idea of God. Now, there is a side of God where he's a God of justice. But this morning, I want to emphasize his love. And I want to preach about his love as much as the justice side of God needs to be preached. The loving side of God needs to be preached. So this morning, I want to give you four things when it comes to the love of God. Number one, in Jude 21, we see that the love of God is essential. It's essential. Take note of this. We must inhale and exhale the love of God. Take in the love of God. Breathe out the love of God. That means that I take in the reality that Jesus loves me unconditionally, and in return, I love you unconditionally. Breathe in the love of God. Breathe out the love of God. And so we see this morning that the love of God is essential. Notice what Jude says. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God. You say, Brother Justin, I didn't know we had to keep ourselves saved. Well, you don't have to keep yourself saved. That's not what it's talking about here. The Lord Jesus, through His sacrifice and His perfection, has saved us once and for all. And so He's talking about a practical thing here, a daily thing. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God. That word keep, it means to keep the eye upon. It means to keep focused on Christ's love and stay in that love. Operate out of that love. Take in that love. Exhale that love. Because we have been loved unconditionally and we're continuing to be loved unconditionally, we are to breathe out that love and love others unconditionally. We are to keep our eye on the love of Almighty God. He says, keep yourself, keep your eye on the love of God. And that just simply means that we are not to lose focus on God's love. Meaning we should never forget how much God loves us and never stop loving Him. Hold your place here in Jude. Turn to the left, if you would, to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Peter begins to talking about losing that focus of the love of God. Losing the focus of the cross of Calvary. And he talks about actually being spiritually nearsighted. 2 Peter chapter number 1, notice if you would, in verse number 5, the Bible says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, if these characteristics are found in you, if you are growing and moving forward, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But look at verse 9. But he that lacketh these things, or is lacking these characteristics that he just mentioned, or is not growing in their spiritual life, he that lacketh these things is blind. That word blind here is through the idea of something being smoky. It's being mentally blind. It's being that of a smoky vision. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Now, in the world of optics, nearsightedness is when you can't see far away. I'm nearsighted. I can't see far away. I can only see near. Therefore, I have to wear contacts and eyeglasses, and I have been wearing contacts since I was 13 years old. About to be 42. That's a lot of days going like this. 13 years old to now, wearing contacts. I can't see far away. I needed something to correct my vision. I had to go to the eye doctor and say, I can't see. I can only see up close. I can't see far away. Could you help me? So they gave me contacts. They gave me eyeglasses. To this day, I'm in and out of the eyeglass store getting contacts or eyeglasses. And so when someone can't see, they can't see far away, that is being nearsighted spiritually. He says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And so what he's saying here is, for the person that is lacking spiritual growth, for the person who is lacking these godly characteristics, I mean, we just named some of them. He's talking about adding to your faith in virtue, temperance, patience, godliness. He says, for if these things be found in you and you abound and you keep growing in these things, then you're fine. You're not going to be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, for the person that is lacking fruits in their life, for the person that is not moving forward in maturity spiritually, the Bible says they are spiritually blind in the aspect of being nearsighted, meaning they have forgotten, they can't see afar off. They have forgotten about the cross. There's a song, an old song. In fact, the Bluegrass Gospel group that we had last Jubilee, the server sang it. It's called, I Have Not Forgotten. God's only begotten who lived and died for my sins. You remember that song? Anybody remember that song? Even if another group is saying it, I have not forgotten God's only begotten. It's a challenge sometimes to not forget about God and what he did for us. You say, Brother Justin, I can't believe you said that. Well, listen, it's the truth. We live in a world that is constantly pulling toward us and pulling us, or wanting to pull us away from the things of God. We've got the enemy on our backs. We've got our own stinky, rotten flesh that we drag around every day. And listen, as Brother Don Nettle said in his prayer earlier, there is a falling away occurring. People are more interested in what's going on outside of the church than inside of the church. And I'm speaking about Christians. I had a man call me the other day from Floyd Road, Wayne Myers. And we got to talking about some things. And he said, Brother Justin, you want to know why Christians aren't talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the first phase, his rapture of the church? He says, you want to know why Christians aren't talking about the rapture? Because they're too caught up and in love with the world. That is the problem. Listen, I believe we have a lot of people during this dispensation of time of the gospel going forward where so many believers have forgotten about God's only begotten and the price that was paid for their sins. And this morning, many have forgotten. The Bible says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I want to say this morning that the love of God is essential. We need to keep our focus on Jesus and his love. Keep our focus on the cross and keep moving forward in love. Inhale the love of God. Exhale the love of God. Keep yourself. Let me keep myself in the love of God. And that's what Jude says here back in Jude 21. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God. So this morning, by doing this, by not losing our focus on God and his love, by doing this, we are keeping ourselves in the love of God. And we are operating out of the love of God. The only way to truly love ourselves and others is by keeping yourself in the love of God. Love yourself this morning because God loves you. Love others this morning because God loves others. Listen to this. I would be careful about what you say to your own self, because God loves yourself. I would be careful what I would say about someone else, because God loves someone else. You see, it's all about breathing in the love of God, exhaling the love of God. It's all about staying and keeping and abounding and abiding and operating out of the love of God. We need to love ourselves and love others. Be careful what you say about yourself. You say, that sounds weird, Justin. Well, sometimes I'm hard on myself. Sometimes I beat myself up spiritually and mentally. Sometimes I don't give myself a second chance. Sometimes, oh, rotten boy, you good for nothing. What good are you? Lousy husband, lousy dad, lousy pastor. You say that to yourself? Hey, listen, sometimes I go through real Mondays, real Tuesdays. And so, listen, Jesus loves me. Jesus died for me. Jesus perfected me by the death of His Son on the cross. I am a child of God. I have the hope of heaven. What Jesus started in me, He will complete it, and He'll continue to until the day of Jesus Christ. If you see, like the old song says, if you see a sign on me that says under construction, listen, that's because God's still working on me. And this morning, be careful what you say about yourself, because Jesus loves you. Be careful what you say about someone else. Jesus loves them. Let us this morning keep ourselves in the love of God. It's essential. It's essential. So we're to keep ourselves in the love of Christ till Jesus comes. Let me mention a second thing. Not only the love of God is essential, but the love of God is sacrificial. Turn to John chapter number 15, if you would. John 15. John chapter number 15. The love of God is sacrificial. Y'all with me this morning? Say amen. Amen. All right. John chapter number 15, in verse number 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Here we see the pinnacle of God's love, and it's seen in sacrifice. There was no greater sacrifice ever made among man than the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross. I want to say about this sacrificial love of God that Jesus wasn't partial in His sacrifice. Jesus and His sacrifice was made for the CEOs of this world, but Jesus and His sacrifice was made for the zeros of this world. He died for the CEOs and He died for the zeros. I was one of those zeros. Jesus died, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, that's what we see here in John. John chapter number 15, in verse number 13, we see the love of God and its sacrifice, the pinnacle of God's love. Turn, if you would, to Romans 5. Romans 5. In Romans 5, verse 6 and 8, the Bible tells us who He died for. Who Jesus died for. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6, listen to this. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. for us. Verse number 7, look at the word scarcely. The word scarcely means with much work or with much difficulty. For with much work and much difficulty, someone would die for a righteous man. It'd take a lot of work. It'd take a lot of difficulty to find someone to die for someone who's righteous. And then he said, peradventure. Or that word peradventure means possibly. And so with much work and difficulty, you might find someone to die for a righteous man. And possibly you might find someone to die for a good man. But the Bible says in verse number 8, but God commendeth or exhibited his love toward us in that while we were yet not righteous, not even good, but sinners, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, he dies for sinners this morning. He died for the religious this morning. He died for sinners. He died for those who are good and think they're good. Jesus died for all. And what a blessing that is to see the sacrificial love of God this morning, that he died for sinners. Like Paul said, of whom I am chief. So, speaking of God's sacrificial love, I think loving sacrificially would be a great way to show our love back to the Lord. First of all, loving the Lord sacrificially. Romans 12:1, don't turn there. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God's not saying, die for me. He died for us. He wants us to live for him. And so he's talking about sacrifice. In the Old Testament, that sacrifice, it was killed, the animal, but then it was laid on the altar. And then the hands were taken off of it. You and I this morning, Jesus doesn't want us to die for him. He wants us to live for him. He wants us to present our bodies, not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. Give our life to him in service. Take our hands off of it. But how many times do we? We lay that sacrifice down, then we take that sacrifice back up, don't we? There's these flesh hooks in the Old Testament, used for, of course, ripping that flesh off to sacrifice. And in my mind's eye, sometimes I think those flesh hooks might have been used for the sacrifice presentation on the altar. Think about it. One dead, bloody mess on that altar. Slipping and sliding. And so the flesh hooks could be used to grab that flesh and pull it back up on the altar. This morning you may have given yourself as a living sacrifice, but maybe this past week you've dropped the ball a couple times. Maybe this past week you haven't believed 100% in faith about something with God. Sometimes our sacrifices get slippery, and we've got to straighten it up back on that altar. He wants us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And because of his sacrifice, I think it's right in place for us to give him a living sacrifice this morning. Not only do we give him this living sacrifice, speaking of God's sacrifice, and in return, loving him back, giving him a living sacrifice, but then not only loving the Lord sacrificially through our sacrifice to him, but loving others sacrificially. Did you know this morning real love will cost you something? It's easy loving the lovable. It's easy loving those who are huggable. Isn't it easy to love somebody? You know, you walk in the workplace and, oh, hey, good morning, how you doing? You know, and can't wait to work with you today. Come here, give me a morning hug. First of all, don't do that. Don't do that in the workplace. You might get hurt. But it's easy to love those. You come in church and there's those. You know, it's easy to love those who are encouraging, uplifting. It's easy to love the lovable. But it's hard to love the rough, isn't it? It's hard to love those kinds. But you see, Jesus has called us not to just love the lovable, but love the unlovable. And the only way we can do this is through sacrifice, because true love costs. It costs. Let us this morning love our Lord sacrificially. Let us love our spouses sacrificially. Let us love our children, our family, and our friends sacrificially. You say, I don't feel like loving them today. Get over how you feel and love them. Did you know when you get married, there's a contract involved? And I heard Brother Berman years ago say this, and I've adopted it because it's true and I like it. You know, he said, I signed that covenant, and my signature on that marriage covenant wasn't based on emotions. There's days we love our spouses and the emotions are there. But what about the days that the emotions aren't there in any relationship? But we're talking about marriage here. What are you going to do? What if they're fighting and arguing in your house with your spouse? What, are you going to divorce them? That ain't true love. Now, we understand that divorce happens in our world, and we're not throwing stones this morning, but what are you going to do? What do? Is you go back to that contract where you chose to love them. You chose to love. My love for Christy is not based on emotions only. It's based on a contract that I made, she made, we entered in together in both of our hearts, come thick or thin. H-E double hockey stick or high water. We're going to ride this thing out. And listen, in our marriage, we have a great marriage. We have a good marriage. We want it to be an amazing marriage. And listen, you ought to have the same kind of desire in your marriage. Every marriage ought to be a growing marriage. And in our eyes, we have an amazing marriage. But listen, if we stop and say we have arrived in our marriage, we are set up for a downfall. But you love, and because of the contract, Jesus loves us because of the new covenant. He shed his blood upon the cross of Calvary, and this is binded by the blood. Whether you love him or not, whether you walk away from him or not in disobedience, he will never walk away from you. It's all because of the blood, that precious blood. It reaches the highest mountains and it flows to the lowest valleys. I'm glad this morning for the blood of Jesus. You say, why are you yelling? Because I love Jesus. That's why I'm yelling. The love of God is sacrificial. But then turn to John chapter number 3 for a moment. The love of God is unconditional. It's unconditional. Now, I want to stay here for just a second. Something I really want to get to. John chapter number 3, verse 16. Listen to this. For God loved the world. For some reason, there's special emphasis on the word so. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The love of God is unconditional. Before I get to the so and before I get to the begotten, let me mention this. In the Bible, there are three different kinds of love. And these three loves still exist today. There is the phileo kind of love. And the phileo kind of love is the love for a friend. There's the eros kind of love. This is the kind of love that's physical or romantic. But then there is the agapeo in the Greek, or the agape kind of love. And this is the unconditional love of God. This is the kind of love that has no bounds, no hoops, no hurdles. You don't have to jump through a hoop, jump over a hurdle, and stay within the bounds. Jesus loves us that much, unconditionally. The Bible says, for God so loved. That word, again, in the Greek is the agapeo kind of love. Agape, the unconditional love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have an everlasting life. We see the unconditional love of God here. You say, how is that unconditional for God to love the world? Well, let me ask you something. Would you give your child for the world? I wouldn't. So my love has conditions on it. I would not give Lily. If somebody said, okay, you give us Lily, the world will be saved. I said, I'm sorry, world. I'm sorry. My love has conditions. Jesus' love doesn't have conditions. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But not only did he love the world, but he so loved the world. Let me ask you a question. How much love is wrapped up in that word so? How much love is wrapped up in that word so? I know we got some sleeping this morning. That's okay. You love God so much, you're dozing off. That's fine. But how much love is wrapped up in the word so? I don't know. If I go home and walk in the door, Christy, I love you, then that's great. That's one form of love. She hears it. Okay, he loves me. I love you too. But if I walk in the house and I say, Christy, I love you so much, doesn't that have a ring to it? She's like, all right, what do you want for supper? What do you want? Okay, Justin, get real. No, I love you so much. I'm trying to explain how much I love her. I can't find the words. And so through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, I like that word begotten. And if you've got other versions of the Bible, I'm not picking on you. I'm just telling you what the King James Bible says, the one that I use and will forever use and will forever be used here in this church. Let me tell you. The word begotten simply means this. Only one of his kind. Only one of his kind. Now, if it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, that would be a lie. Because according to Scripture, we are the sons and children of God through the new birth. But he put in there begotten, because Jesus is the only one of his kind, straight from him. In the baseball card world, I have to insert it here. Let me just say this. Not long ago, I pulled a 2023 Topps Archives gold foil. Yeah, that's making y'all amazed, isn't it? Super Fractor Michael Harris rookie card. And that's great. But this is what's even greater. It was a 101. And everybody in my house, my wife, my daughter, and even my dog, I'm sure, knows how I feel about baseball cards. And has heard that phrase 101 before. It's the only one of its kind. And I'm not getting into money here and talking about what I've spent on eBay with baseball cards. But I'll just tell you this. I made a profit on that card. Yeah, I sold it. I made a profit on it. It was a one of one, the only one of its kind. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved in the name of Jesus. Not Muhammad. Not Buddha, not Confucius, not any of these names, but it's Jesus. He's a one of one, the only one of his kind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Listen, I'm not going to get on this tangent, but that's a big time word, begotten, and there's differences in other versions, by the way. I'm not getting on to you if you have another version. But I like what Curtis Hudson said one time. It's not the same if it's different. It is not the same if it's different. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, one of one, straight from him, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank God for the unconditional love of God. Amen. Let us do our best to love others without conditions. No hoops or hurdles to jump through or over in order to love someone. Just love them like Jesus loved you unconditionally. One more thing and I'm done. The love of God is unconditional, but the love of God is inspirational. Romans chapter number 2. We want to close right there in Romans in just a moment. Romans chapter number 2. Listen to this, Romans 2. Romans chapter number 2, Paul is talking about God's judgment. Then in verse number 4, Paul mentions that God was long-suffering unto the people to repent of sin. Look at verse number 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So we see here that Paul mentions that God was long-suffering unto the people to repent of sin through his graciousness and through his goodness. Do you know what God does to reach out to one of his children, let's just say, that has gone wayward? You know what he does sometimes? He blesses them really good. You know what God does sometimes to reach out to someone, to call them into his family? He blesses them really good. You remember when Peter was in the boat fishing and Jesus told him where to cast the net, and when he did, he pulled in a great multitude of fishes, and Peter said, "Depart from me, O Lord, I'm a sinful man." Standing in the presence of God, watching him do miracles. And listen, there's been times along my Christian journey in the past 21 years that, not deserving of any blessing from God, especially the times where I feel like I've failed him deeply and failed him a lot, and then here he'll go floating a blessing right across my way. That didn't drive me away from God. That drove me to God because I know I didn't deserve it. And so many times in life, God pours out his goodness when we are contrary to him. But the design is for there to be a change of course within us. Within us. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. That's the design. It's to bring you back through his goodness. Remember the story of Billy Graham hugging Ruth? That's what he was going after. He was showing that love. This is God's inspiring love. It inspires us to change. Last verse, 2 Corinthians 5:14, Paul says, the love of Christ constraineth us. The word constraineth means to hold together. It also means urge or impel. Paul says that God's love it inspires me to keep going. He has held me together in my years, Paul says. He gives me the holy urge to live for Him like a fever that has overtaken me. He has impelled me to preach. And all of these things wrapped up in one is the constraining love of Christ. Constraining. God's love this morning is inspirational. The love of God is unconditional. The love of God is sacrificial. The love of God is essential. That's the message, the love of God. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your love. And I pray in the next few moments as we give the invitation, let there be someone to come and do business with you, Lord. Let them not hold back. Let today be that day. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. If you need to come, please come.
What can wash away my sin?
Anybody else? Won't you come this morning? It's invitation time. This is what it's for. Nobody pointing, nobody looking. We're all in this thing together. Do you need to come pray this morning? Come if you need to come this morning. Are you saved this morning? Do you know you're going to heaven when you die? Jesus died for you. I'll meet you on the altar. We can pray together. Receive Jesus as your Savior. Just play softly, Brother David. We still got a couple down front praying. We're going to be mindful of them. I do just want to thank everybody for coming this morning. And had a great choir practice this morning. Got choir practice at 4 today. And everybody have a great afternoon this afternoon. Not sure if it's raining out there, but it's supposed to be. It's what the forecast says. And then tonight, invite somebody to come with you tonight. Invite somebody to come with you. We got it on social media, and we've sent out some messages to others, and be here for tonight's Christmas program, 6 o'clock. Remember that, 6 o'clock. We normally have service at 5 o'clock, but just remember that at 6 o'clock. And then again, remember for those who do not make it back tonight, Wednesday, we're going to be over at Calvary Children's Home. I'll probably send out a post Tuesday evening, just to remind everybody where we're going to be on Wednesday at 6:30. All right. All hearts clear before we go. Okay, well, been good to be here this morning. And we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. And I hope everybody has a good and safe afternoon. Brother Harold, do you want to close us out? Birthday boy?